Any.
All righty, let's get right to it. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. We're joined by 49er beat writer Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And let me start with this question. How can the 49ers be a better team this year than they were last year?
Well, they spent the offseason bulking up two spots that were big weaknesses on this team last year. One was cornerback. We know about the travails of the third cornerback last year, and that's a deep spot this year, to the point where we don't really know who that third cornerback is, but they've got a lot of options. And then the second is that you'll remember at midseason, they had to go shopping for not one but two defensive ends.
Yep.
They weren't getting any heat off the edges. Certainly not opposite Nick Bosa. And so they addressed that. I don't think that they addressed that to the same degree that they did cornerback, but, Leonard Floyd is probably their best bookend for Nick Bosa since D Ford was here in 2019. So those are two big areas where they should have improved. And of course, they hired a new defensive coordinator in Nick Swanson, someone who's really familiar with this Pete Carroll-like defense that they've been running since 2019 as well. So taken together, you would think that this defense is going to be markedly better than it was a year ago.
Matt, keep doing your thing. I'm a fan of your work, and I got one problem. I can't let go of the past. And last night, NFL Network was showing the Niners Super Bowl in Vegas against Kansas City for the second time. And I came in and I told Steiny, you know what, since the Baltimore game last year, Matt, I just felt like the Niners offense as a whole and the team was just a bit different. And that's why they barely beat Green Bay and Detroit. And I know they did. Kind of had their best game against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But, Matt, if I were to ask you, why did the Niners offense, why was it pedestrian in the postseason? How would you answer that?
You know, I think that they went into a malaise. I mean, they really circled that December 2 game in Philadelphia, given what had happened the previous postseason. That was their regular season Super Bowl. Let's put it that way. And then, you know, the rest of the month, yeah, they won some games, you know, against the Commanders. And then the season finale was that nothing game against the Rams. And I just think that it went into neutral a bit. And you saw that against Green Bay. I think that they were, talent-wise, head and shoulders better than Green Bay. But they, you know, they barely came out of that game with a win. And then the next week, of course, they fell behind to a Lions team, which is good. But again, I think they're a far cry from the 49ers as far as talent, and it needed that second half burst. And I agree with you. I thought that they had sort of remedied that by the time that they played the Chiefs, that they were going at full tilt in that game. But, you know, I definitely kind of felt that, was wondering, certainly during the Packers and Lions game, what is happening with this team? You picked the wrong time of the year to kind of sleepwalk through the first half of both of those games.
Matt Barrows joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's joining us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Matt, I know you've covered the 49ers for a while now, and I'm just kind of curious about, as somebody who's been in the locker room, you know, year after year after year, how do you assess kind of their togetherness or their off season? Obviously, I'm talking about Trent Williams and Ayuk, and now the latest thing with Ricky Pearsall. Is there any way to tell in real time whether this could affect the 49ers or not?
I mean, I would say that their togetherness is as good as any team that I've covered. I mean, the Harbaugh teams absolutely had that in 2011 and 2012. I mean, they were, as Jim Harbaugh would put it, a band of brothers. And I think that it's a similar brotherhood on this team. And you saw that in the Ricky Pearsall incident this weekend. I mean, I had a whole bunch of officials making a beeline for the hospital as soon as they heard what had happened. They got Pearsall on the phone on FaceTime from his hospital bed so that he could make an appearance at this party. Just talking to the players yesterday in the locker room, obviously they were affected, deeply affected by it. An incredible roller coaster ride on Saturday afternoon. But I'll give John Lynch credit for kind of building that camaraderie, that culture, that togetherness, and you feel it. And there was definitely an excitement in the locker room on Tuesday. Trent Williams had arrived. Pearsall had arrived the previous day. Players were still kind of buzzing about that, the remarkable nature of a guy who shot in the chest on Saturday and who comes into work on Monday. So there was a real a sense of excitement, energy. I don't know if that's just kind of all the happenstance that happened over a very bizarre 48 hours. And it's whether that's something that can kind of be carried into the regular season, but that, electricity and that togetherness that you referenced definitely was apparent in the locker room on Tuesday.
Yeah, good stuff, Matt. I got a question. I was rooting for Aiyuk to get paid. He actually got more than I thought the Niners were trying to give him, so good for Brandon. But my eyebrows raised yesterday when he made the comment, Brandon was talking to the media, that this could have been done sooner, but he was trying to, I'm paraphrasing here, Matt, he was doing some different stuff. What did you take from that? What did he mean with that line at the end? What was he trying to do? Obviously, get more money, Matt, more upfront money. What did you take from Aiyuk's words yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that the takeaway quote was that he made it a little bit more difficult than it needed to be. And I thought that was in reference to what we saw immediately after the deal was consummated, which was the 49ers. I think it was obvious it was coming from the 49ers saying that, this is the deal that we've had on the table since August 12th. And here we are at the very end of August, and this is now just getting done. So I think IU probably realized nothing was gained over the last, 2.5 weeks before he did this. Just kind of speaks to the bizarre nature of the entire negotiation. One of the themes was that, what does Brandon Aiyuk want? Does he want to be here? Does he want to be in Pittsburgh? Does he want to be in...
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability, durability, and versatility built in. Like number one selling Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
CEC Turf and Tractor. On the web at cecturfandtractor.com.
Washington, does he want to get traded to New England? I think that the 49ers were trying to sort of force the issue there at one point, early August, so that he would just be forced to make a decision one way or the other. And that may have been what was kind of holding it up and making it a bit odd throughout the whole ordeal.
Matt Barrows joining us on 95.7 The Game. He writes for The Athletic. He covers the San Francisco 49ers. Matt, this is going to be something I think we talk about a lot, and that is, Brock Purdy and what will he eventually get paid? And with the question I have for you, and I don't know how much detail you'll be able to give me on this, but obviously they just paid Aiyuk. They just redid Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey also this summer. They're going to have to pay Purdy. What do you have any sense for the type of decision they're going to have to make down the line with who can still be on this team once Purdy gets paid? You know what I mean? Like, what do you have any sense of the tough decisions that they may be looking at a year from now?
I think that they are in a position where they can let this year dictate what they do. It does seem like they're going to have to do something. Like they can't, there was talk about, Trent Williams playing until he's 40 yesterday when Trent Williams came in. You can't have all these guys playing until they're 40.
Right.
It's not going to happen. So, just logic would dictate that some of these older players will have to, hit the exit at some point. Like I said, I think the season will dictate a lot of that. Some of these guys are scheduled for free agency. Dre Greenlaw, Charvarius Ward, Diamador Lenore, Talanoa Hufanga. Some of them will not be back. The 49ers will let some of them hit the exit. Aaron Banks is another one. That's one I feel pretty confident in saying they're not going to go out and pay Aaron Banks a lot of money. That he's probably going to exit via free agency, just like Lincoln Tomlinson did. Mm. They don't pay guards a lot of money. And, by the way, they've got a really good-looking one in Dominic Cooney right now, who played left guard in college and is playing right guard this year. But to me, it seems like the 49ers have earmarked him for left guard all along as the heir apparent to Aaron Banks. So that's just one. I have a hard time thinking that they're going to be able to re-sign Charvarius Ward. That's two. They've drafted a lot of young linebackers over the years. So Greenlaw, to me, is a question mark. So that would be three. I think that they would love to get Hufanga and Diamador Lenore back. If I'm Diamador Lenore's agent, though, I'd love to see him get to the market and see what he can fetch. Mm. He's a guy that is poised for the kind of season on defense that Brandon Ayuk had on offense last season. Had a very, very strong offseason, spring, summer. Probably was the best player in camp. So, again, 17 games are going to kind of point the 49ers to some conclusions on who they can keep around.
Matt, I'm always telling my partner here, tomorrow's not promised. You look at how blessed, you mentioned it, Ricky Pearsall was with the situation he went through and came out of it healthy over the weekend. But I refer to Kyle Shanahan on days as a genius. He can scheme them with the best of them. I know this. And then there are days, Matt, where I criticize his play calling, like the 2019 Super Bowl, the last drive. Since 19, the Niners are up there outside of the Chiefs better than any other team in regard to winning. And I want Kyle to win it because he deserves to. But how do you watch this quest that Kyle is on with his brilliance, but yet getting so close, no cigar? And now you got the contract, the money, all those things. Matt, how do you watch and process this quest from Kyle?
I mean, it's all set up for success. I mean, you can't, take a magnifying glass and find a couple of cracks on this roster, but it's the best roster in the league. And it's the best one that, I've covered since I started covering this team in 2002. So, there's that. This team has an excellent chance of winning the Super Bowl. Luck always is a huge factor in this. And maybe the 49ers will get lucky this year and a team like Houston or somebody else in the AFC will knock off the Chiefs, knock Patrick Mahomes out of the running. To me, that's the difference in the two Super Bowls that they lost. The Chiefs have a once-in-a-lifetime player in Patrick Mahomes who excels in fourth quarters, who just puts the game on his shoulders and wins games, and nobody else does. I think it's as simple as that. You talk about Kyle Shanahan and kind of missing that Super Bowl win in his career. That was Andy Reid 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Offensive genius who keeps missing out on the big game. And Reid, by the way, was worse than Shanahan. Not getting to the Super Bowl, blowing it in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. And now he's the most vaunted head coach in all of the land. You need to get lucky sometimes, and Reid certainly got that luck when the Chiefs trapped at Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, real quick, Matt, do you think this, I want to make sure I heard you right. Do you think this roster, this year's 49ers team's better than last year's?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, you can argue about it. Like I said, you know, the blatant weakness last year was that third cornerback spot. That bothered them throughout the season. They started Logan Ryan at nickel cornerback in the Super Bowl, a guy who was on a Disney cruise in November of last year. And, you know, that ended up being critical at times. So I think that they shored that up. The defensive line, that you know, despite all of the things that they've done at that spot in the draft, in free agency, in trades, it's still light, and it still could come back to haunt this team. But, you know, I think that the offensive line is better because Pooney is better than the right guards that they've had at that spot. There are a few other places. Tight end, I can't say if that's better or worse. Running back potentially could be a weakness if Christian McCaffrey ever gets hurt. But these are all things that any team, you know, throughout the history of the NFL is going to have to deal with. I think it's as good or perhaps better than last year's squad.
Fair enough. Hey, Matt Barrows, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. That's Matt Barrows. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop? Matt Barrows, The Athletic, covers the San Francisco 49ers.